after the timeout. Holmgren will now try again. A 42-yard field goal out of the hold of Austin Fisher. There's the snap and hold. Kick on the way by Fenton. End over end. And it is good!
Six. Marching Murdoch. In motion. He's got the football now. Across the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Iowa State.
This is Down the Pipe and Natty Light.
Welcome, Cyclone fans, to another episode of Down the Pipe and Natty Light. As always, I'm your host, Levi Stevenson. Tom is off this week, so I'm joined once again by my longtime co-host, Marchie Murdoch. How's it going, March?
Man, it's going good. How about you?
Not too bad. Iowa State's 3-0. Heading into conference play undefeated for the first time since 2012. Got a big matchup with Baylor this weekend. We were talking a little bit before we started recording, but you guys won last week for your football team that you're coaching?
Yeah, we won 37-7 versus Brewer High School. So was a good game. Now we got a bye week this week before we head into our rivalry game versus Azle next week. So it'll be a big one for us.
Cool. Very cool. So what we should do before we start talking about, start recapping Ohio a little bit and talk about Baylor, say thank you to our sponsors over at Stotts Bar and Grill and Ames. I've been our sponsors for a long time. We really appreciate their support. If you can, you head, right down there in Campus Town. They've got Taco Tuesday, Burger Wednesday, FAC specials on Friday. They've got specials every single Saturday for game day. Even for home games. So if you're, don't have a tailgate spot or whatever, or, it's a night game and you don't have anything to go to earlier in the day, you can head on over to a Stotts and get some good food and drinks. Then head on down to the tailgating lots or head over to the stadium, whatever fits your fancy. They have them for away games as well too. So, definitely head on over to a Stotts if you're looking for some good food and drinks. And they also have a taco truck now. So We've got one of those now after we've been, March and I have been begging for one for a couple of years now. Now we just need to get it to drive. Now we just need to drive it down to DFW for him.
Yeah. We definitely need that for sure.
Maybe that's what I'll do is I'll see if I can go to the TCU game and I'll just tell them I'll drive their truck down. We'll just do that.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
So let's recap Ohio a little bit. A game that I would say was up 33 at halftime. Feeling pretty good. Final was 43-10. I don't know about you, March, but I came from the came away from the. I mean, won by 33. I mean, can't really complain about that. But I did leave the stadium feeling like I wanted more. I felt like we left a lot on the table, and I felt as though we definitely did not play a smooth, polished game.
Yeah. I agree. I didn't see probably like most of the fourth quarter. I think I saw probably about the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. I was watching pretty much most of the game. I agree. I think the first half kind of started off. We didn't start that first drive off fast, but as far as the first half, we were moving the football.
Well, the first drive they marched right down and score, but then after that the next couple were clunkers. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they were clunkered, and then we kind of got back into our groove. And then the second half we just didn't have that same focus, I guess. I don't know what it was, but we didn't have that same focus. We didn't have the same attention to detail.
It did look like they took their foot off the gas a little bit.
Right. We took our foot off the gas. You could just tell that Coach Campbell was a little bit angry and frustrated at that because, just knowing him, he wants to put his foot on the gas. And he wants to ramp it up more when he's up a lot. So,
right.
I know he was that's probably something that they talked about all week. That's just something that you cannot do. We were just fortunate enough that, Ohio didn't really pose as a threat to us.
Right.
And, capitalize and score on us. Yeah, but we've got to get better at that because, we're going to be playing Baylor this week. And obviously we're about to talk about that, but you know, even if we, let's say we have a big lead, we can't keep our foot off the gas because, you know, good teams, they're going to keep fighting and they're going to scratch and claw and fight to get back in the game. Just can't let that happen, especially in Big 12 play.
Yeah, and there was a few different times where they generated a turnover, whether it was an interception or a fumble or whatever like that, and then it just they weren't always able to capitalize on those turnovers. Right. And when you're in conference play, you've gotta if you get an interception and you end up in opponent's territory, you've gotta put points on the board. Even if it's a field goal, you have to put points on the board.
Right. And I think the biggest question mark, I think our defense played overall pretty good. You give up 10 points the whole game. This is specifically, honestly, it's probably more specific to the offense. I think the offense probably took their foot off the gas. Obviously, the defense made a couple mistakes, but, I mean, you know, the Ohio is a Division I program, too. So, I mean, they're going to make plays. They've got guys that are pretty good on their team. But just as a collective whole, obviously, they may not have the players to match up with this, but offensively, you know, the question mark that I've always had and I've harped on, and I don't want people to think that, you know, I'm overanalyzing, but I just know that we're going to play better teams. Even with us playing Iowa, their defense is great, but I know we're going to play better teams in our conference.
Right.
We've got to be able to stretch the football down the field, and we've got to be able to find guys. Back and get open. I mean, we're about to face against a team coached by Dave Aranda. He's a really good defensive-minded coach.
Right.
I mean, he helped lead LSU to a national title, and that defense was very early on. It wasn't that good that year, but as the games went on, they got more stout and more stout. And those, you can check. Those last four games that they played, they were playing lights out. So, I mean, Dave Aranda is one of the best defensive minds in the country, if not the best. So we've got to come with it. And he's going to see the tendency. He's going to try and take away Xavier Hutchinson. They're going to try and take away. They're going to make sure that they take him away. Who's going to be the other receiver that steps up and gets a little bit more creative? As far as getting those guys open, I understand that the offense is mainly, you know, short passes, short throws. But if you check, one thing that, you know, you could probably kind of question for Hunter Deckers right now is he's made a couple big throws down the field. But as far as his yards per attempt, he's not really throwing the football down the field. It's more short routes where we're catching it. Maybe
he hits his check down guys quite a bit.
Yes, he hits his check down guys quite a bit. And once we get into Big 12 play, teams are going to live off that. They're gonna make us have 12 to 15 play drives. And like I said before, it's just so tough to string 12 play drives each time you go out there and try to score.
They're not going to be able to make a living off a 24 play 99-yard drive. Exactly. Very often.
You're not going to be able to just get 6-yard catch, maybe a 10 here, a random 15 there. Like we're gonna have to have big plays stretching the football down the field. And I know for a fact these teams are looking and they say, okay, Xavier Hutchinson's the guy. We're gonna take him away and we're gonna force guys like Jalen Noel, Dimitri Stanley, Sean Shaw, Aiden Bitter to beat us. And they're gonna live with that.
That's one of the reasons I think
make them pay.
I think this has got to. I think this game has an opportunity to kind of be the quote unquote Jalen Noel game. Because like you said, now granted, Xavier Hutchinson's exceptionally good at what he does. There are very few people in college football better at getting open than Xavier Hutchinson. And he's going to get his targets. He's going to get his 12 to 18 targets, and they're going to do that or whatever, and that's good. You can pretty much pencil him in for 9 and 90 pretty much every game, but what I have noticed going through film and stuff like that for the wide right film room every week, is that they're slowly integrating more pre snap action and things like that to get Jalen Noel the ball, not as much downfield. for Jalen specifically. Right. Where they're running him, like they'll motion him into the backfield, like on the other side, like a split backfield in the shotgun, and then they'll have him kind of orbit around the outside. Which, for if people aren't familiar with that term, that basically he would stand on like Decker's left, and he would come around behind Decker's and take a wide path out to the slot, or even out right. even out wide. And that's kind of what an orbit motion is, and they're using that to kind of reposition defenders back there. And you can also put him behind a blocker doing that, because he's, you know, if he's already on his orbit motion, pre-snap motion, and then they snap it right in the middle, that he's got momentum to the outside. So all Hunter has to do is turn, whip it out there, and he's got, you know, and he's got Xavier Hutchinson blocking in front of him, and he can do something with it, which they use right. to pick up a first down against Ohio. They're also using him like in tandem with Easton Dean and Jared Russ, like where he, you know, where they'll have Jalen go on motion out, and then, Russ or Dean will be lined up as an H-back, and then they'll send them both out to the flats with Russ or Dean kind of trailing Jalen, you know, to put a corner out there and put him basically make him make a decision to either come inside to play the tight end or dip outside to cover Jalen. So they're doing stuff like that to get the ball to a tight end or to Jalen or something like that, to take some of the pressure off of Xavier. But like you said, they need to find somebody that they can throw to 15 yards downfield consistently that isn't Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sean Shaw is probably a good candidate for that.
I think we've got to be able to find a 2 and 3 guy.
I think Sean Shaw has actually, it seems like he's improved. Like his route running looks mm-hmm. a little bit better. He looks a little bit like, he doesn't look so stiff. He doesn't look right. nearly as stiff as he used to. Cause that was his thing for a little while. Is he's tall. He's really tall, but he ran his routes really stiff. And it seems like he's dropping his hips more on his turns. He looks more loose and more flexible when he's running his routes now. So that's good. But you know, we got to see it on a consistent basis. Deshaun Hanukkah is another guy that they're trying to work into the mm-hmm. passing game a little bit more. And they've thrown him
big catch across the middle.
Yep, exactly. And that was a thread the needle ball from Hunter Deckers. That one actually did get tipped on the way through or whatever. But that play was actually a good example of kind of what Hunter is doing / needs to probably do a little bit better. Because that pass, if you go back and look at the film, the pass he threw, which it did get caught by Hanukkah for a touchdown, I would think, if you go back through and watch on film, you would look at that and say, I probably shouldn't have thrown that ball. But if you look on that same one, he threw it directly over Jalen Noel's head to Deshaun Hanukkah, and Jalen Noel was sitting by himself about 10 yards downfield. You know, you like to see him pushing the ball down, because he's got the arm strength and the accuracy to do it. So you like seeing him push the ball downfield, but it's one of those where if he's looking, he can see the linebacker fading back to pick up that post route, the backside post there. And you can see Jalen just sitting right in the middle of the field. So it's one of those where you either take the shot at, you know, an 18-yard touchdown, but you might throw a pick, or you throw it to a wide open Jalen Noel that's 10 yards downfield. He picks up there's no chance for a turnover on that play. And you get 15 yards, bang, and then you just run it in for 3 at the end. You know, that's right. To me, that would be one of those, like, as he gets older and more mature, he hits Jalen right there instead of pushing the ball down to Hanukkah or whatever, where, you know, you like him pushing the ball downfield, but you don't want him taking those risks where you're like, ugh, you know, where the gamble paid off this time, but it might not next time.
Yeah, I didn't really see that thread the needle. I don't even remember seeing the replay.
Yeah, they showed it from the backside from behind.
I could tell. I could tell on the play. I was like, I didn't even know. I didn't even think anyone caught the ball, and I just saw Hanukkah get up and kind of celebrate. I was like, I didn't even see him catch it.
Right.
But you know, obviously, it was a good play by Hanukkah. But that's also a play that you could say that Hanukkah could kind of build on as far as his confidence.
Sure.
I think he's made a couple, you know, he's made a couple plays. He made one in the first game, and now the second one, but you would like to see it versus real competition. And I would also say with Sean Shaw, I would like to see it versus more consistency versus real competition.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got to find that second and third option, in my opinion.
That third option's wide open for whoever's going to stand up and it's Aiden Bitter. I don't know, but
exactly. Yeah. I mean, right now you could probably pencil in that it's Jalen Noll just because they're trying to,
Jalen's number two for sure. Number three. I mean, that could be Demetrius Stanley. It could be Shaw. Right. It could be Aiden Bitter. It could be whoever, but
I just feel like they've got to get, We're scheming for Xavier. We just got to scheme more for the two and three. But those guys have got to get open. Those guys have got to do those, get open and give the quarterback confidence in them so that way he's not just, you know, keeping his eyes locked on eight. Because I can tell you right now, Hunter Deckers is getting his eyes locked in on eight, Baylor will expose us because they're a pretty good defense. We've got to be able to run the football, I think, in this game. We've got to be able to convert on third down like any other game. But I think it's huge in this game just to keep the chains moving, keep our defense off the field, keep them rested. But I think the main key in this game is we've got to be able to push the football down the field. We've got to be able to get big plays out of our wide receivers. They won't let Xavier Hutchinson just go up and down the field and they're going to try and take that away and limit him as much as they can. Right. Now I know that we're going to still scheme and try and get him the football. So I'm not worried about that. And I know he's going to get his touches.
I mean, they're using him a lot like the Packers used Devontae Adams played for the Packers.
Right.
Everybody knows he's going to get 15 targets a game. You just scheme him and you let his route running kind of take over and get open. But you still got to have somebody else.
Exactly. You got to have somebody else. You got to have a second and third option at the minimum. We got to have, I think Noel needs to have more.
The third receiving option has been the running back to start the season, which, you know, that's kind of a double-edged sword where, you know, the running back's usually a fairly safe pass target, but the ceiling on what a check to the running back can do is fairly low.
Right. You know, I mean, and it's not stretching the football down the field. I guarantee you Baylor would rather, you know,
They'd rather have Jarrell Brock catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage and run for 3 yards over and over and over again than Jalen Noll or whoever catching a pass 15 yards downfield. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got to be locked in as far as the coaches. I know the coaching staff has probably, you know, talked about it, but, you know, I think they've got a scheme, just a couple more. I think Noll should have about 6 touches a game. I think Hutchinson has about 8 to 12. And then, you know, that third guy can probably get his. Obviously, the tight ends will get theirs. There'll be plays where they catch the football, especially in the red zone, third down, and things like that. But as far as a wide receiver play, we've got to be able to stretch the football down the field. This is what they call nut-cutting time. Okay, this is the pretest. We passed the pretest. We did a good job. We're 3-0 now, but – you know, now that stuff really doesn't matter. We've got a tough, tough Baylor team that's really good that's going to come in here and try and win. So, offensively, we got to be able to, you know, stretch the football. Even if, like, once or twice a quarter, we got to throw the football deep. We have to at least have them think that, okay, they can throw the football deep on us, and they will if they get a chance, because that could open up the potential intermediate routes to check down and stuff like that.
Right.
But if we don't test it a lot, then it's going to be easier for them to basically cover our offense because we're limiting our yards. So, you know, they don't have to cover the whole football field. They're just covering around 20 yards of the football field. So, you know, it's a slippery slope. You know, you got to stretch a football. You don't have to every time, obviously, but it's got to be at least 1 to 2 times per quarter that we do stretch a football down the field.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement too, because especially if you can connect on a couple of those, or whatever. I mean, Baylor's offense is definitely a step behind their defense. The running game is pretty solid. And it's a wide zone concept, which is not something that you see a lot in the Big 12 or anything like that. But last year we held them to 3 yards a carry, which generally did a pretty good job of containing Baylor's run game that had been really gashing people a lot that season up to that point in the season. Blake Shapen is not the runner that Bo Hannon was.
And I will say again, man, I've been impressed with our corners.
Yes, 100%.
Ohio did get a crazy catch on us some point in the game. I can't remember. But overall, our corners, I mean, if you had to ask me out of the first three games, they played pretty good. Now, I will say that they're going to play a lot more athletic guys. They're going to face guys that are dudes.
Especially Baylor. Baylor always has a ton of speed. Yeah.
You know, and so we're gonna have to go out there. We're going to have to execute. We're going to have to stick with our technique. But I do feel that with Purchase in Tampa, we're a lot more athletic as well compared to previous years.
Yeah,
so I agree. Do think that if they do attack us, we're able to make plays on the football and get our hands on the ball because, you know, we've got guys that are athletic. Like TJ Tampa's an athlete, you know, with his size and his length, and he can run as well. He's shown that, you know, he can run with guys and he can get his hands on the football. And so has Miles Purchase. So, and even our safeties with Johnson being a former cornerback, that helps our safety room as well.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, between Tampa, Miles Purchase and Anthony Johnson, especially, but like they've been kind of ball hawks so far. They've been stepping up, and Porter's come in,
and he's done a pretty good job.
They're going up and actually deflecting passes and picking stuff off and stuff like that, which is not something that the secondary has done a lot of at Iowa State typically. Right. I mean, it's generally like if they got an interception, it was because the quarterback overthrew something and there's just a safety sitting back there type of thing. Like Isham Young and Greg Eisworth picked up a few picks like doing that where they were sitting back and they overthrew it. But like they're actually jumping up and they're jumping passes now. And I tell you what, though. One that really impressed me was Anthony Johnson's pick, which shout out to him for getting his first career pick because it was an amazing catch. Big. It was an amazing play. But what if you go back and watch the tape a little bit, is that on that play he actually kind of baited the quarterback into it. Now the quarterback did underthrow the route a little bit, and credit to Anthony for seeing that and making a play on it. But he actually kind of did almost bait the quarterback into throwing it a little bit because. It was a corner route by the slot receiver, and he went up and he went up and kind of took a few steps forward to kind of meet that corner route or meet the route right at the break or whatever at 10 yards downfield, right where the break is. And he saw the receiver break into the outside on his corner route, and he took a step. He took a very small move, like he was undercutting it almost like if it was just a true out route. And then he immediately started going backwards. And that one little move there looks like it baited the quarterback into throwing that. And then the quarterback underthrew it a little bit, but you know, that route looked a lot more open than it actually was. Cause Anthony Johnson's a really smart player. And he did a great job of generating that turnover. And it was great to see. And if you watched about, I think it was the next drive, maybe he came and he almost got a second one. He gambled and it didn't quite pay off, but man, he was really close to picking up that second one. And you know that, especially now that he's playing safety, now, you know, he's got that taste for blood now. So I wouldn't be surprised if he starts jumping some more stuff. Cause you know, that's, if there's ever been a complaint about a John Haycock defense, is that it has not generated a ton of turnovers.
But or sacks.
Sacks and turnovers, they don't do a lot. They don't generate a lot of negative plays or a lot of turnovers or whatever. But now, I don't know about negative plays. I'd have to look at that one. But they're generating turnovers at kind of an alarming rate compared to what they usually are. And to be clear too, Ohio's offense isn't a world beater, but they're quite a bit better than like Iowa's offense. I mean, Ohio is actually, like, if you watch schematically, they're very competent, actually. They may not have like the athletes to really compete like against a Power Five team or something like that. But like they've got a really good scheme actually to get guys open. And the quarterback's not. I mean, the quarterback's not like amazing, but he's not a slouch or anything like that. They were playing against at least a half competent offense too. So I mean, they weren't just defending against nobody. But I've been really impressed with the secondary so far as being aggressive and really trying to create turnovers and try to just knock down instead of the thing that I know has annoyed both of us where they'll sit 10, 12 yards back at the snap. The team will just run a quick, you know, three to five yard hitch, and then they'll just pick up five easy yards, and that's just what it is, and whatever. And obviously would just sit there and just sit and eat those 5 yard gains all day, whatever. And now they're kind of jumping up and knocking stuff down and saying, you know, you're not just going to sit there and just eat 3 to 5 yards every time.
Yeah. I think a sneaky group that we've got to watch that could dictate this football game is the defensive line. I think that if the defensive line can get pressure on this Shapen. I think that's something that can dictate the game and that can change the football game. We've been talking about the DBs and they've done a good job, but I think the defensive line has probably done just as good of a job, if not better, of getting pressure on the quarterback, of making life, you know, hell for the quarterback, and even, you know, stopping the run on defense and causing turnovers. I think we probably caused the most turnovers in the first three games so far in, you know, Coach Campbell's history. I don't know the probably stat
up,
on that.
Probably up there. That, yeah, I mean, it definitely it, feels it, like they're turning – It definitely feels like they're creating a lot of extra opportunities.
I mean, every game we've got at least, what, two turnovers so far?
That sounds right. At least one, maybe two. I'm trying to remember if Southeast Missouri, if we did or not.
Because out east we got the pick from the defensive
and the,
line.
And the fumble at the goal line.
And the fumble at the goal line. So that's two.
Then we got a couple, Iowa, we got three or four of them last week.
Yeah, and then Ohio, I want to believe we got the pick, and then we forced a fumble.
Yeah, we had a strip sack against Ohio. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, Will McDonald got his first sack, so that's good.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's two a game. So, and a lot of those turnovers came from the defensive line, or at least them being disruptive. So, you know, they've done a pretty good job. If they can keep that up and get pressure on this guy and make his life a living hell, That could help out the defensive backs, and that could help them, you know, get their hands on the football and cause turnovers and get the football back to our offense.
And that's one of those things too, is that, so I do want to get your perspective on this. The starters came out really early, like beginning of the fourth quarter, maybe even a little, like Jarrell Brock didn't play in the second half at all. I thought they came out maybe too early. The way I see this is it's a third game of the season, but it's one of those bye games. It's a MAC game that, you know, you should win by a lot, but part of the reason that you have them though is to have as a tune up for conference game for conference play. And the offense hasn't been bad, and like it hasn't been bad or anything like that. And Deckers has generally been pretty good, but to me, there's so many new faces on this offense, especially the offensive line and things like that. I would think that you would want to get more first team reps in to try to try because like that game was so hard to establish a rhythm in that because there was a ton of timeouts and injuries and stuff like that where it just. There was no flow to that game whatsoever. So, like, you know, when you have that many, you know, when the game is that choppy and it's hard to really get in a rhythm and get going, I guess I would have liked to see him at least stay in another series or two, just to see him get in a rhythm and put together a couple in a row, where you don't have anything that stalls out after a few plays or something like that. I would have liked to see. I mean, I totally understand not doing that from like the. You know, from the perspective of not wanting to have any more injuries and things like that. I get that. but I guess I would like to see more. I would have liked to see more from the offense as far as trying to establish a rhythm. But I don't know. Maybe if you, I don't know if you feel differently about that or not.
Say that again. It kind of buffered a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure. Like, how, I guess, how do you, where's your kind of perspective on that? Where, you know, did they take him out too early? Cause you like, you know, maybe they needed to get
talking about, you're talking about Jairam.
Just the whole offense. I mean, like Hunter Deckers was done after the third quarter.
I mean, man, it's kind of like, it's a slippery slope because
sure.
The offense, the backups do well. It's a smart idea. You rest your guys, you sure. Get them healthy. You keep them healthy for next week. Cause obviously we know, you know, Baylor's, you know, first game in conference.
Yeah.
Bigger games. They're obviously going to get their moments to obviously play the whole game. But then in retrospect, you know, we got a lot of new starters on the offensive end or just new players in general. So you would like to see guys like Jairam and maybe, you know, Hunter stay in the game. But I think on the safe end, you've probably got to get them out because if Hunter Deckers gets hurt in that second half,
yeah, no, I, you know, yeah, exactly. I totally we're get
30,
it.
You know, like, is it, was it worth it? Will be the
right.
question.
Yeah, I totally 100% get that stance on. I just,
And I think with Jairam, if Norton was healthy, I think Norton would have been the guy in that second half with Jairam.
Yeah, if he wasn't hurt.
But
yeah,
I also 100%. Think that they were thinking, look, if Jairam gets hurt, and we got Jairam and Norton now. Are we sure that we want Eli Sanders being the guy? Yeah, you know,
or,
like
yeah, or Deion. Yeah,
I think Deion Silas has kind of put himself in that third or running back position with the plays he's made so far this season.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm more with I agree with what Coach did. You just got to be safe, man.
Sure,
you're up a lot. You know, the backups, this is quality reps for them where they can get in the game and they can get real game reps. And I think that could potentially help us later on where maybe something happens where one of those guys have to come in and they get thrown into a situation where they got to play a lot.
Right.
And they've already had that experience of playing and being in. And, you know, obviously, you know, making the plays in practice is a lot different than making the plays out there on Saturday. So you got to get that experience. Could Jairam maybe have played a series or two more? Sure. But again, you've got to be on the safe side for right now, just because, you know, you're already down one back and, you know, Norton's your number two and obviously you would have him. It looks like they probably knew that he would be back for next week, but still you don't want to go into that game versus Baylor with, you know, but they're true freshmen that really hasn't, you know, done anything as far as
right.
the season so far. He's shown a couple flashes in that first game, but didn't play the Iowa game, didn't play Ohio. So you don't want to go into that first Big 12 game against Baylor, a really good team with Norton, in my opinion. So
right,
I think you kind of play it safe right there.
That's fair. I think that's perfectly fair. Like you said, it wasn't like, oh my God, like I'm outraged by it or anything like that. It's just one of those. Like,
it
in the moment, it kind of caught me off. I was like, really? They're pulling him out already? Like, it's, I mean, we had a big lead, but it was like just beginning the fourth quarter. So, it just kind of caught me off guard in the moment. But, anyways, I guess let's, one thing we should talk about is kind of the flip flop of this too is that, yeah, we have talked about a little bit about the defense, but you know, looking at the Baylor offense part of it too, like their passing game hasn't been great or anything like that. Like, and Iowa State is currently sitting at fifth in the country in yards per play on run plays, so yards per, you know, kind of a yard per carry type thing, or very close to it, like fifth in the country in yards per carry right now. Which, granted, you know, against three offenses that are not super efficient at running the ball, but they look really good stopping the run. And Baylor is very, very dependent on their run game right now. To me, this looks like one of those where if you can shut down their running game, kind of like they did last year, and make Blake Shapen beat you through the air, you're going to feel pretty good about your chances.
Mm-hmm.
And the line, Iowa State's a 2.5-point favorite. The over-under is really low. It's in like the high 40 or something like that, which is that's a pretty low over-under. Expecting it to be a lower scoring close game type of thing, which that's kind of what Iowa State Baylor has been the last however many years. We'll see. We'll see what happens too, though, because Baylor has gotten or has gotten a penalty for fighting four seasons in a row, and Iowa State and Baylor have had some bad blood in the past. So we'll see. We'll see if there's another one this weekend. That'd be interesting. But so I guess we can go and kind of get into our prediction. Unless you got anything else you want to add for our preview there, we can get into our predictions. And stuff.
No, I do think also too, our linebackers are going to have to play big in coverage this week too. I know nobody's really talking about it, but they've got to be big in coverage, and I think they've done a pretty good job so far. But this is obviously a new test, so just something to look out for. But yeah, I'm ready for the score prediction. Am I up first?
Yeah, you can go first. So what we will see
haven't you been going first so far this season?
I can go first. All right.
We can't go.
Fair enough. Let's go ahead and my offensive player to watch, most your MVP, whatever you want to call it, is I would say I'm going to say it's Jalen Knoll. I think this has got to be the game where he's got to establish himself as a worthy second option to Xavier, and get himself open and make it so that Hunter Deckers has to throw to him because he's open, type of thing. You know, this has got to be that game where he can, and I think and it could be where this is the quote unquote Jalen Knoll game where he has a big game and establishes himself as a worthy second to Xavier Hutchinson. So I'm gonna go with Jalen Knoll on the offensive side. Defensive side, this is good. This has this matchup has Orion Vance written all over it. I would say Baylor is a heavy run team, not like super heavy, but they're a run first team. Their wide zone is going to be dependent on them, people taking good angles. This has got Orion Vance's name written all over it with him. Proper gap assignment to flush guys to the outside to where Anthony Johnson and Bo Freeler can help out Gary Vaughn and whoever else, and Colby Reeder on the outside. So this is a big, big game for Orion Vance and is a good test of his gap discipline. So I'm going to take Orion Vance on the defensive side. Special teams, I don't know if it's a specific player, but I would say it's going to be punting this game a bunch. And the punt coverage / protection unit needs to get it together and make it so that Tyler Perkins can do his job back there, because he seems like he's a very good punter when he gets a chance to actually punt it and not have it blocked. So go with that. Final score prediction is 24-21. Be a tight one. March, what you got?
The big game, 11:00. This is a tough game. This game could gotta go either way. But I'll say this, on the offensive side, they're gonna try and take Xavier Hutchinson away. I think he still has a decent game, but if we're gonna win, I think we're gonna need big plays. And I think the big plays are going to come from the running back position in this game with us running the football. And it's not going to be Jairo Brock. It's going to be Cartavius Norton.
think he's going to be the MVP of this game. He's hungry. You can tell by the flashes that he's had. I think this may be his coming out party. Wild statement to say, but it's usually the guys that you don't expect that make those plays and have those big games. So I'm going to go with him. I'm going out on a limb and say that it'll be Norton for the offensive side. I think he's going to have some huge runs. And I think he's a guy that if he gets in space, he can take it the distance. So I'm going to go with him. Defensively, I'm going to go again with Anthony Johnson. I think that he's starting to get in a little groove. I think it's starting to fit that he's a safety with a corner's background. I think he makes a couple huge plays in the game. So I'm going to go with Anthony Johnson. And then the special teams wise, I'm going to go with our kicker. I don't even remember his name, but I'm going to go with
Chase Gilbert. Kicker
because
Jace Gilbert.
I think he's going to Chase. Is it Chase Gilbert?
Jace. J-A-C.
Jace Gilbert. Shout out Jace Gilbert. All right. I'm going to go with him because I think there's going to be some instances where he's going to have to make some tough kicks, which goes into my prediction. I think we win on a last second field goal. And I think we win 30-27 in a tight one. I think the fourth quarter's wild. We're pulling our hair out. We have no idea what's going on. Classic Iowa State Baylor battle. It's a low scoring game, and both teams scored twice or whatever. But I think we end up getting that 3-point edge and scoring 17 in the fourth, and they score 14 to ultimately win the game 30-27.
There you go. I think I've seen a lot of the 3-point wins for Iowa State kind of going around. A lot of people predicting that, and that kind of making its rounds around social media. So
yeah,
I think we're all pretty much in agreement. It's going to be a close game no matter what. Just matter, you know, is it 17-14, 24-21, or 30-27. Well, you know, it could be about anywhere in there. We'll see. But, March, do you got any final thoughts before I wrap her up for this week?
Yeah, this is a big game. You win this game. I think if you win this is the game. Levi, I think if you can win this game, this could set you up pretty well, man. I mean, you know, you win this game, you can probably look and be like, hey, man, you know, this Iowa State team could possibly be for real. I know there's some tough opponents on that schedule. Big 12 is not easy this year, especially with Kansas elevating. But if you can beat Baylor and take care of this, especially a home game, you know, start off 1-0, we can kind of get this. The train could really be in motion. And we can be, you know, we can take this thing. You never know how it goes.
Absolutely. All right. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Down the Pipe and Natty Light. As always, I'm your host, Levi Stevenson. Join in for myself and Marchie Murdoch. Everybody have a great rest of your week. See you on Saturday. Go Cyclones.